That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 123 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 20th of January, 2023. I am Conal O'Moran. Coming up, teaching young women about business, the benefits of networking, and how to boost your business by having a healthy place to work. But first, regular listeners will know that we, on That Great Business Show, championed Professor Martin Curley, who wanted to make our health system the best in Europe within 36 months. We first chatted to him on episode 90, and we loved him, and I absolutely loved him and what he wanted to do. So much that we asked him to come back to co-host episode 103 and to bring along some of the extraordinary Irish companies that would help with that digital transformation of our health system. Basically, Martin wanted to use today's technology to bring our yesterday health system into tomorrow. Sadly, very sadly, it looks like that is not going to happen because Martin and the HSE have parted company. It seems like a huge, huge loss to the country. Do please listen back to hear what he had in mind and what could have been. Episodes 90 and 103. And as always, thanks to our new sponsor, Dundeal Motors, the only place you need to go for your new or second-hand motor, all from the convenience of your couch.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And so to this episode, 123. I was talking during the week to Sheena Dunn, founder of Siest Sleep, who joined us on episode 113. Her magic pillow can fix many, many sleep issues, including back, hip and knee pains. And I know because it has helped me. During our chat, Sheena told me that I had to have Sarah Naylor on the podcast. Sarah, I am told, is a one-woman nuclear power station running her own business, a beauty business in a box, aimed at helping young women make their own money. And most recently, Sarah has been anointed president of the Dublin branch of Network Ireland. Sarah is a qualified teacher with qualifications in digital marketing, innovation, creativity, leadership, hairdressing and beauty therapy. Wow. Sarah Naylor is also in studio with me. Sarah Naylor, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you for having me, Conal. I'm really delighted to be here.
I love people like you. Is there anything else that you could actually fit in, as well as a bit of networking, beauty in a box, all of the stuff that you do? You keep busy. And I've only just learned this now. You wrote a book.
Yes.
And you've done a famous pivot. Where do we start? Talk to me about the beauty in a box, because I love this idea. You are getting young girls to make money.
Absolutely. I help to teach teenagers. My tagline is, I teach bored, broke teenagers the practical skills in hair and beauty and help them build their beauty business in the box. So it all stemmed from me having two bored, broke teenagers at home. I was initially trying to help women who were stuck at home and put on Zoom. So I created the book Salon Styled at Home to teach them how to do their own hair and makeup for free during lockdown to try and make themselves presentable on Zoom. And then I realised that there was a whole gap in the market with regards to teenagers. So I started helping the bored broke teenagers find a way to earn their own money and build their own side hustle or beauty business on the side. I also teach for the ETB, so the local schools. I go into communities and teach marginalised women and girls.
ETB, Education Training Board.
Yeah, so I work for them in Clondalkin, so I teach girls that want to become full-time hairdressers and full-time beauticians. They come to me there or out in the community with Southside Partnership. I go out to marginalised communities and teach them the basics from self-grooming to self-care to self-worth, self-confidence, all the way up to teaching them a skill where they can actually make some money and make a difference to their own lives and the lives of their families.
So how do you keep busy?
I know, yeah. How do I relax? I do Pilates.
Now, you mentioned the broke teenagers, but you also told me how much money these broke teenagers can make.
Yes, absolutely. Look, it's like everything. The more you put in, the more you get out. So just recently, I was teaching a young 14-year-old boy who has
not
mastered...
Just girls.
Oh, absolutely no. No, absolutely not. And this young lad has mastered the art of lashes and he does it from home. He's bought his own shed, he's set it up and he's turning over 800 euros a week.
We should say eyelashes. We're not whipping anybody's bottom.
Oh, no, no,
they?
Absolutely. Yeah, sorry, eyelashes, eyelash extensions, yeah.
800 quid. Yeah. Now, listen, that's
after
a chunk of change.
It is, absolutely. And it's after school and it all
14.
Ties in. 14 years of age, yeah. But he has a hunger and he has a drive and he has a passion.
How much is your best student making?
One of them before Christmas was turning over 2,500 a week doing nails.
How many hours?
Oh, that was like definitely doing 50, 60 hours a week.
Like, okay, well, that person's not at school or in college or anything.
No, that was on the she's 19. Yeah, so that's her full-time business now.
2,500.
Yeah, as a one-woman
band. And
that's
gross
band.
Now. Because
yes, that's turnover, yeah. So that doesn't include her costs.
So net-net, what kind of money can you make out of this? So, I'm thinking about this
myself. I
know,
yeah. And you know something? Everybody is, but everything comes at a cost. So for somebody to do a set of nails, it's costing them just for their product, €8. For somebody to do a set of eyelash extensions, it's costing them for their product, €10. That doesn't take into account their electricity. And most of them are working from their home. They're working from a shed in the back garden. So it doesn't take into consideration those costs. But if they're charging between 35 and 50 euros for their treatments, they're definitely turning over 75% in profit.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's
where
amazing.
Do I apply?
Beautybusinessinthebox.ie or the Sarah Naylor Academy.
And that is your business because you are the trainer of these people,
yes,
which
absolutely.
Is great. So how many kids is a kind of a loaded term? How many of these young people do you get through?
So this week I've 45 new students starting.
Get away.
Yeah. Yeah, so this week I was working for an ETB in Sallynoggin College of Further Education. So I was teaching the full-time students there as part of my business. So they brought me in as a workshop to teach them how to do eyelashes and brow lamination, which is another... So my courses are accredited. And so they'll get my accreditation on top of the qualifications that they get from their further education course also. So I had 15 of them. And then on Friday and Saturday, I have two new cohorts coming in, 15 per cohort from nail students and lash students. And they range from 14 to 21 in age.
So you're doing almost a 7-day week, are you?
No, I don't actually.
But you just said Saturday.
Oh, so yes, but I take Sunday off. But I do a lot of work on the outside with regards to my social media. Like I'm very prevalent on that and I post every day. So I do a lot of that from home and then in-person training I probably do probably 3 times a week.
And what
four
do you
times
do
a week.
On social media?
TikTok is my favourite space at the moment.
And what are you doing? Showing people how to do the nails or whatever?
I speak to the bored broke teenagers, so I talk to them about what they can do to make their own money. It doesn't have to be doing lashes or nails. I talk to them about how to get a babysitting job or how to get a dog walking job and things like that to try and inspire them to take responsibility for themselves and get out and do something.
I love that. So much. You are talking to the most converted person ever about that because I think that's where it starts.
Yes.
And then what really cheesed me off is when we were not allowed, our kids were not allowed to work. I worked since I was 12.
I'm six.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. My mum had her own restaurant in Parkgate Street, and it, like, I'm from O'Devney Gardens, which were flat complex in Dublin 7. So it wasn't the best environment to grow up, and not the best environment to be allowed walking the streets on. So my mum had us in washing dishes and serving tables from the age of 6, and it was what kept us on the right track. Yeah, absolutely.
You could probably hardly look over the table at that age.
I was in my school uniform most days after school, serving tables and washing dishes.
So what should, could my kids do to earn those extra quids now? What's the, I always love finding out, what's the latest thing?
At the moment, they all want to learn these practical skills. So like the girls are looking to be lash technicians and brow artists and makeup artists and that kind of thing. And then what I'm noticing is they all want to do this drop shipping, where they want to have a clothing brand where they don't actually have to have their hands on the stock, and it's, or they want to be affiliate marketers, or they want to be content creators. And it's all amazing, but they don't realise the work that needs to go in the background, that they can't be overnight millionaires.
Yeah, I don't remember which episode it is, but if they listen back to That Great Business Show, DigiFly, the DigiFly episode is where I first heard all about, in detail, drop shipping and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And it is a great idea.
Absolutely.
If it works. Mm-hmm. But the guy who was doing it, he had 2 failures and 1 success. So, mm-hmm. you know,
there's a lot of potluck behind it, but there is a lot of trying to figure out what people really want. And like what's happened for me and what's my success is that I found a niche in the market, and that was talking to the bored broke teenagers. For a long time, I was trying to talk to women my age who had children my age to try and help them build their confidence. And women my age don't invest in themselves. They don't invest. They will walk over hot coals for anything to do with their children, but they won't put themselves first.
Why? So
I don't know. I don't know if it's a self-deprecating thing to do with Irish women in particular. But
I think
we just put ourselves to the end of a very long list, and it doesn't sit right with people to put themselves first, because it seems selfish. But I believe that you need to be selfish, because time spent on yourself is time well spent.
And everybody else blossoms out of it.
Exactly, yeah. If you're happy, it permeates through your personal life, your professional life, your family life. And I believe the real crux of happiness is to be actually happy in your own skin. And a lot of women are miserable in their own skin, and then it just permeates through to every other aspect of their life.
And a lot of men are also.
Too. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You did one of our favourite famous pivots as well, because you were in the movies.
Yeah, I was like, I really was like, my big thing was hair and makeup for film and theatre and bridal work also. And because COVID came and shut us all down, and then it reopened, but it didn't really reopen for that industry. So I was stuck at home, and I was talking to women. I was trying to teach them hair and makeup from the comfort of my own home to the comfort of their own home, and teach them about Zoom styling and getting confident on camera. I wrote a book called Salon Style at Home. It's still there. It's on Amazon. It's self-published. And then I became part of this group called Maz on a Rant on Facebook. There's like 47,000 women on it. And it was
Maz
on a Rant.
As in mammies.
As in mammies, yeah. Like, it was created by one of my ex-students, and she asked me to come on as an administrator. And I used that platform to really help the women who were really marginalised and completely forgotten about. And I would run live online classes, and they would log on. And then I did free SFX classes to teach them how to do their kids' makeup at Halloween.
Special effects.
Special effects makeup, yeah. So a Halloween, like using PVA glue and tissue paper and coffee granules, so they didn't have to go out and buy expensive makeup products. And that went really well. And the Herald got behind me, and they advertised it for me for free. And that was really good. So I got a lot of people logging in. And then I had a lot of women asking me how I could teach their children. And then that's where the pivot came. And born of that was Beauty Business in a Box, where I give them all of the practical skills, all of the kit to go along with it. But then I also teach them about starting their business and building their business and scaling their business.
Which is the perfect segue into another thing you want to talk about, networking.
Networking, yes.
Because you are now the boss of bosses of networking in Dublin. Explain.
Okay, so I never understood the power of networking. I did know that you needed to know. And in Ireland, there's it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it is a lot of that. And I became involved in networking because, as I said, I'm from Dublin 7. I don't have the typical D4 accent or anything like that. And I felt that it was stopping me from moving forward. So I joined up with Network to try and build my personal confidence.
But hang on a second now, that's a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
You joined in or joined up with because... Like, where did you get the idea? Who said to you, oh, here's the way to do it?
I just seen something online and that was it. I had been on some trainings and I'd heard about Toastmasters and stuff like that. And I just didn't understand that there was women out there that had businesses that could help each other grow and nurture themselves and build confidence and have ideas that you could bounce off of people. And 2 years ago, I joined and I don't know how I became vice president, but that just happened overnight and now I'm president. And so it's...
You know that you always give the busy person the job because it'll get done.
It gets done, yeah. And I do
and
get
like,
done.
I mean, I only read out half of your things that you get up to there.
Yeah, I don't stop. Like, I really do get stuff done. And I think that the fact behind it is I really want to help people be the best that they can be. And in doing that, I make myself the best that I can be.
So sell me your network.
Okay, so Network Dublin,
it's Network Ireland, isn't it?
Yes, it's Network Ireland and I'm the president of the Dublin branch. And so we at the moment have 60 members. My goal is to have 120 by the end of the year. I've partnered with Ronald McDonald House as the charity partner because I've been working with them, volunteering, doing some work for the women in there, doing facials and nails and stuff.
Not busy at the other things.
No, I'm busy in that. And basically, I want to really get some money for them also. And I want to help the women that are within the network to grow their businesses instead of having an expensive hobby, to have an actual scalable, sustainable business. Because I had an expensive hobby for years and I understand like all that money that comes in and like what I was talking about teaching the teenagers, understanding that that has a cost and it's not actually your money, it's the company's money. And so...
And the VAT man,
yes,
and the tax man.
Oh. And the accountants, and they all have to get paid. And you also have to get paid. And so that's what I really want to help these women in the network do. And I want them to have community over competition. So there is like...
So is that your catchline? Community
over competition.
That's a nice line.
Yeah, I want everybody to come together as a community and support each other and build each other up and not be in competition with each other.
And as we frequently say on That Great Business Show is that the business community doesn't... they help each other. They're not against each other, mm-hmm. so long as you're not trying to eat the other person's
exactly.
lunch.
Yes.
There is a lovely camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And that's what Network Ireland has, is a lovely camaraderie.
Give me the sales pitch as to why any woman, because it is women that you're looking for in your Network International.
Yes, it is women, yes.
Yeah. And so what's the pitch for them? I said Network International, it's Network Ireland, but mm-hmm. I presume, does it belong to a Network International grouping? Or
Network Ireland is the group and we're backed by AIB, so AIB is our main sponsor.
And better give them a big shout out.
We better give them a massive shout out.
Are you backed by AIB?
Backed by AIB.
That's
Network Ireland
bank.
Is backed by AIB. And we have AIB liaisons in every branch and I'm lucky enough to have two really brilliant liaisons and AIB give us
give them
support.
A shout out. They love you even more.
Yes, absolutely. And their Molesworth Street office is where they allow us to have our big events and
that's
it's
a
absolutely
new one. It's beautiful.
Stunning.
Yeah.
It's stunning. And so they support us and within the network, what I do, what my role is to do is bring in women in business to inspire and motivate our members to be the best that they can be and give them inspiration and show them what's attainable for them if they follow the steps and if they do and if they, the hand will come down the ladder and help them up the ladder if they want it. And so at our meetings, we have really brilliant speakers. Shout out to Nora Casey. I've asked her to come on and talk to us and inspire us. And if she would do that, it would be absolutely incredible. But it's women like the Nora Caseys of the world and the Joanne Hessians of the world and the Amy Connolly's of the world, all Irish entrepreneurs that will come in and speak to our members and inspire them and motivate them to do really well professionally and personally.
And to talk to those people who might be thinking of coming in, what kind of people have you already got? Who are amongst the 60? What kind of businesses are they big
it's
or small?
It's a massive
or
wide
teeny?
Range. And some of them actually work for businesses. So like we've got women who work in Meta. We've got women who work in PricewaterhouseCoopers.
So you don't have to be an entrepreneur.
So they can be a woman who is in a business own their own business or not even be working and they just want to come and network with other women and be inspired to be the best version of them.
And what's the commitment? Once a month?
So we have in-person events once a month. We have a monthly coffee catch-up. And this year I am bringing on board the Boards You Can't Afford, where I'm going to put five women in a group where they'll be there a mastermind for each other. They'll come and they'll meet once a month and they'll brainstorm ideas for problems in their businesses or problems in their business life. And then they each pick a solution. They pick one solution, they work on that and come back the next month and hold each other accountable.
And just to remind people, you do this because you like doing this. Nobody's paying you to do this.
No, it's completely voluntary.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. One other woman that you have got to have on is Paula Fitzsimons. I don't know whether you know Paula, but Paula does the Going for Growth program.
Oh my God, I would love to have her on.
She is a huge supporter of this podcast and she is just incredible. And she has been incredible for women in business particularly.
Yeah. So, some of our past members like Chupi has gone through the...
Chupi is great. Yeah,
she's gone through the Going for Growth program and now she's a mentor on it. And Una O'Hagan has come on as a sponsor to Network Ireland this year as well. And like, I would love to get in a room with Una O'Hagan and Paula Fitzsimons and Chupi and just like get inside their brains and figure out what it is that makes them tick, because those women are incredible.
We ask one final question of our lovely guests, and that is, who would Sarah Naylor hire in a heartbeat?
Nora Casey.
Well, that's a good question. And it's a given as well. She, and I think I was saying this to you, that I was MC at an event where she was speaking. Most inspiring. Mm-hmm. And kind of, I wasn't expecting it to be so, maybe I shouldn't say this, but so good. She was superb.
Yeah.
So I would recommend her to anybody who's looking for a keynote speaker. So there you go.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Hopefully
anybody who wants
to
get you and the box, where will they find you and your box?
If you find me on Sarah Naylor Academy.
N-A-Y-L-O-R.
Yeah. I'll help you nail it in the hair and beauty industry.
And if anybody wants to find you on the network?
It's Sarah Naylor, or on LinkedIn, Sarah Naylor McNamee.
But is there a Network Ireland?
Oh, set Network Ireland and it'll be / Dublin.
And that's where you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And say That Great Business Show sent you.
Thank you, Conal. I really appreciate it.
Sarah Naylor, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Many of you in business will have heard of an organization called A Great Place to Work. Now, my next guest was CEO of that organization for almost 10 years until he headed off to do his own thing. And he founded a healthy place to work. And no, we're not talking about opening windows and using the lift instead of the stairs. So, John Ryan, CEO of Healthy Place to Work, what are we talking about?
Well, number one, it's lovely to be here today. So thanks a million for the invitation to come in.
You are very welcome.
Yeah, I suppose it's interesting when people think about health and workplaces. Oftentimes they jump to kind of, oh, the wellness piece. And when we go into a lot of organizations, we meet the normally HR who have ownership for this, and they tell us all the things they're doing. And we say, so why are you doing those things? And they say, oh, well, you know, sure, that's what a healthy place to work is, isn't it? It's about lectures about mental health or this, that or the other. And what we find is that oftentimes they can be taking quite a superficial approach to workforce health. And it can all be about awareness building, very programmatic, maybe event-based, and all about absence and illness. And basically what we're sort of saying is, you know something, workforce health can be the biggest driver of organizational performance. And if you view it that way, you're really going to make a difference in the lives of the people, but also in the performance of the organization.
I would love to be a barrister at this stage and say, my lord, prove that. How do you prove that? I mean, you know, I'm sure it's a good thing, but pound notes, pounds, shillings and pence for those old enough to remember them. Prove it to me.
Well, plain and simply, the proof is in the pudding. So the organisations that deal with us, thankfully, they do it year after year after year. And if it didn't work, they tend not to do that. OK, so one is going to be certified 5 years in a row, which is BT Ireland, which is fantastic. Organisations like Virgin One, IRFU, all of these have seen the benefits of actually measuring the things that matter in terms of the health of the workforce, and then being able to manage those things and change the organization so that the organization itself is having a positive impact on people rather than a negative impact. Because we're very clear that there's a symbiotic relationship between the organization and the individual, and the individual and the organization. So it's really important that both sides work. So you kind of say you can't be a healthy organization if you're full of unhealthy people. That would be true, wouldn't it? And equally, can't be a healthy person if you're coming into an unhealthy organization every day.
But we're not talking about people with coughs and sneezes.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
So the model that we use has four key parts, right? And the main one is purpose and meaning, okay? So this is the alignment that people have to the organization. One of the things I often say is that there's a film called Sixth Sense where there's a little boy and he says, I see dead people. And over the last 30 years, I've gone into workplaces and honestly, I've looked people in the eyes and they might as well be dead because they hate the place that they're in. And you sort of say, how are you? And they say, you know something? I hate my job. I hate my role. I hate the manager. I hate the culture. And you go, so
let
why are you here?
Let me stop you there for one second, John. Honestly, did anybody ever say those words to you that I hate?
100%. I have seen them.
But and nobody admits it. A lot of people think it.
Oh no, they admit it to me. I can tell you. Maybe I'm just one of those trustworthy kind of people that they feel comfortable.
I really feel sad for those people and I empathise with them. The idea of getting up in the morning and feeling rotten and going into work because you hate your work.
Mm. Well, it happens on a Sunday night for so many people. Yeah. I don't know if you remember in school,
like
you know, when you were getting ready and you realised you had no homework done or your ECHR or whatever for school on Monday and you started to get that feeling. An awful lot of people are feeling that.
No.
But a lot of people are feeling that on a Sunday night. Yeah. The idea of going to work, it's just miserable. And particularly if, for example, they don't get on with their boss, right? If there's a mismatch there, that's a bit of a nightmare. But also what's happened is a lot of people have fallen into careers. And you know something, they can do the job, but is it pulling on their strengths or is it pulling on their weaknesses? And sometimes then that leads them to being unhappy. They don't perform, the organization doesn't like that. So it's a fight. Every day is a fight. And what we often find is that there's somebody in an organization and the organization is delighted to get rid of them. And then we meet them 6 or 12 months later and they're in another organization and they're a star. And you're kind of going, that really annoys me. There's so many people in the wrong job. And honestly, the job you choose to do is one of the biggest health decisions you'll ever make in your life.
Okay, and what can you do to make the unhappy happy and all of that kind of good stuff?
So it's not even happy, because I actually hate the word happy personally, because I think too many people focus on, when I ask people, particularly young people, you know, what do you want in life? They say, I want to be happy.
Smile on his face.
I want to be happy. And you're kind of going, no, you can't really. That's not a great target to have in life, because life is tough, right? Plain and simply. So the art of this is actually to have a deep personal satisfaction in who you are and in what you're achieving every single day of the week. If you do that, that's a realistic target.
Okay, look, there are people in business, many thousands of them listening to this. Mm-hmm. When you run a business, as you run a business,
absolutely.
Look, you're trying to survive from day to day, and other people and their happiness. I'm sorry, that just doesn't come into it. You just say, "I need to make the value of the wages this week or this month." Your happiness, I don't care about.
So 100%, what you care about is the performance of the organization. What drives the performance of the organization? If you're a people-dependent business, it's the people who come in the door are in their own homes, wherever you do work from nowadays, whether or not they're actually healthy and ready to perform. This data is so clear, right? If people self-report that they feel unhealthy, they then are really negative about the organization and its leadership. Whereas if people say they self-report that they're healthy, they're much more positive towards the organization and the leadership. So if you want to be a vicious business person and just focus on, you know, I want high performance, what I'm saying to you is you should focus on workforce health, because that's the biggest driver. These people coming in, if they're energized and ready to go, they'll deliver. But you have to make sure that the organization itself isn't getting in the way of that delivery.
And give me 2, 3, 4, 5 top tips to become a better place and a healthier place to work.
Well, number one, what we'd actually say is you've got to survey your people to know what's going on.
Do they tell the truth?
They do. Why wouldn't they? Because this is an opportunity for them to see change and affect change.
If I'm in an organization and somebody asks me, you know, what do I think of John Smith, the boss? I'm always wondering, you know, John Smith, the boss, might see this, so I better say nice things, which is a lie.
One of the things we've got to do is convince people in an organization that this is confidential. We're an independent organization, and over the years, nobody has ever questioned or doubted that. And that's important, because then they can feel secure to say exactly what they think. And we're watching the results, and we have a platform, an analytics platform. We allow people to go on, but we have suppression levels. So you'll never be able to drill in to a level that you'll be able to identify somebody. OK, so that's really important.
How often do you hear in an organization, and certainly don't name them, please, is that, you know, the boss is awful, and that would be a widely held view?
Well, oftentimes, let's say there's an organization, and we deal with them all from 10 people to 5,000 people and the like. So there can be different divisions and different sections, and you can clearly see that there's a clash between the individuals and the boss. There can be bullying going on, and they're the kind of things that you can jump in and sort straight away.
But can you?
Of course you can, yeah.
But hang on a second now. John Smith is the boss, and John Smith is clearly bullying. You're an external organisation. You can't go in and say, John Smith, you're a bully.
So we provide the data that actually allows the organisation highlight that there's an issue.
The boss is the problem, is the boss going to say, self-report himself or herself and say, I'm a bully?
So it's very, very clear what the data actually says. And if it's saying that people are giving this feedback on a constant basis, that person, if they're the head boss, the total boss, they have to look at themselves and actually then sort of see, well, hold on a second, there's something going on here. But generally, it's down the line, and it's kind of maybe the behaviours that have slipped into the organisation that some people think are acceptable. And the art of this is actually jumping in and sort of saying, Mr. Boss, actually, you may not realise it, but what you're doing at the moment is unacceptable. And the organisation has to be clear about what's acceptable and what's not. And oftentimes there's an education piece there, because maybe I was born and brought up in a way that I thought this kind of way was the way to lead and this is okay and acceptable, and suddenly I find out now it's not. So I can either change as a manager and a leader, or I can exit. And that's why this isn't all nice and light and fluffy. This actually leads to big decisions being made in the organization. But if you care passionately about the performance of the organization, you're going to have to make those decisions and make sure the talent is attracted to the organization, the people who are in the organization want to stay there and perform.
How do you measure a healthy place? And with your experience now, what have you seen? What transformations, that measurable transformations, can you tell me about?
Yeah, I mean, like, how do you measure it? So we use 4 pillars, purpose, mental resilience, connections, and physical health. And below those, there's 21 reportables. And that means you can really drill into the minutia of what's going on in the organization. Where are the pressure points? What are the things that are good, and celebrate those? But what are the pressure points, and how can you actually relieve those? So like a couple of examples of organizations. I mean, we're talking about big organizations like multinational pharmaceutical organizations. And in that organization, the data that was coming back to us said that everybody was aligned. They were connected with the purpose and meaning of the organization. That was great. They were bought into the leadership and they were all doing really well financially. But the biggest problem was they were probably going to lose many of their talented people in the next 6 months. And it was because there was just way too much demand. People were being completely overwhelmed. And interestingly enough, we did some semi-structured interviews with people as part of this process. And we actually found out that the women were actually choosing not to go into the C-suite, even though the organization was saying that they had a gender balance target in there, because they just weren't willing to sacrifice themselves. So in that organization, the answer was that they went back to the board and actually said, board, we can't take on all the priorities you're giving us. You're just giving too much. So it's not that we're never going to do them. We're just not going to do them now. And then they also changed the ways of working, and it made a huge difference to those people in that organization.
Measurable?
completely measurable because they were going to lose their people. And the performance metrics of these organizations are absolutely clear. They know exactly what's been delivered on a constant basis, and they can show you and share that data with you.
So where did this idea come from? Your idea.
This is
your baby.
It is. I was in the States at a conference in 2014, and there was a guy from Stanford University called Jeffrey Pfeffer, and he stood up and his slide said, workplaces are killing people, and worse, nobody cares. Now, being Irish and cynical, I was kind of going, I wonder, is this American, and kind of overplaying it a bit. But then he started to give data around suicides, around the effects stress was having on people in terms of heart attacks, in terms of cancers and the like. And even down to in Japan, where they have a word, karoshi, which is death by overworking. It's a reportable on a death cert. And I was saying, you know something, I had the experience of Great Place to Work. And I said, I wonder, is there something similar to that in the world of health, that you can actually certify against a standard and there's a brand that will be well known? And we actually found out, we looked all over the world and we saw there were lots of things going on, but nobody had created a singular brand, model, methodology that people could certify against. So we did it.
And you keep saying we. Who's we, Tonto?
Yeah, well, no. There was a people in Great Place to Work where I was working. We developed this first, and then in 2020, I actually exited that organization and said, I'm going to take this to the world. And that's where I've been going and doing that.
My perfect segue, because when we chatted before and you told me about this, I said, yeah, great, fantastic, because you can bring it to the world.
Yeah.
Where can you bring it, and when will you bring it, and how will you bring it?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we were blessed because we had the relationships, right? So organizations like Salesforce and Sky, Enterprise Ireland themselves, shared services, all of these, they were willing to go into the test mode and the pilot mode with this with us. And then they actually loved it, and the feedback they gave us was great. So that meant that we were already connected into maybe organizations that would be known around the world, okay? Then we went to Northern Ireland, into the UK, and we got clients like Concentrix and the like, who are
now
big clients.
People say things like, we went to the UK and we found Concentrix, but it's never that easy. Share your learnings, if
sure,
you like.
Sure.
How did you get them as a client?
Absolutely. Everything we have done has been about connections and relationships and networks.
And where did you connect? Network or whatever. What did you use?
Over the last 30 years, I've actually been building up a network of people. Not that I was actually going out to do that, but I just happened to do it. And, it's been wonderful because people move on from different organizations, but I've managed to keep connected with them. And, you know, we got a client in Dubai Police, because there was somebody in Dubai I knew and they knew me, and they sort of said, this is great. This is relevant. These guys are, you know, top of their game. Let's go and show it to them. And they loved it. And I've just gone and done training there last week. So that was fun.
Oh, well, hang on a second. Now, you can't just skip over that. How do you make Dubai Police and their workplace a happier place, a better place, and a healthier place?
Well, first and foremost, it's about convincing them of what healthy place to work actually is, and redefining health in the minds of these people. Because most people think it's the usual sort of yoga and healthy eating and the like. They don't understand that this is much more holistic, and a word, I don't know, your listeners may have never heard it, salutogenic, right?
I saw that on one of your slides. I couldn't even pronounce it.
Yeah.
It goes on quite a bit. S-O-L-U-T something, isn't it?
Yeah, so
what is salutogenics?
So one of the inspirations of the model of healthy place to work is a guy called Aaron Antonovsky, and he basically researched people, women in particular, who were in concentration camps during the war. And he wanted to find out whether or not it was possible for them to live fairly normal lives afterwards. And what he found was a cohort at around 33% who actually were really resilient and had actually got through. And he wanted to find out what drove that resilience. So for him, he realized that the world saw health as the absence of illness. So if I'm not sick, I'm healthy, right? But that's a very pathogenic approach, where you're trying to avoid illness and disease and all of those bad things in life and the risk factors. And like with COVID, for example, you wear the mask, you stay at home, you stay away from the world. Whereas on the other side, what he found with these people was they had a salutogenic approach to life. So they understand what were the things that really drive you to be healthy. So stronger physically, mentally, socially, emotionally, spiritually, so that if, for example, COVID came to visit you, you're now strong enough to be able to get through that. So you're not running away from the world. You're actually saying, this is where I want to go. I want to get fit and healthy and be everything I can be. And work can be a phenomenally important part of that, because it can provide you with things that can help you to flourish. And the other piece that he actually identified was this deep sense of coherence. So like we all have an ideal self and then there's a real self. And if those two things are very separate, you're not going to be particularly happy. You're going to be ill at ease or open to disease. So the idea of bringing those back together is what's really important.
Just very briefly, just go through that again.
Yeah.
Because I meet many people, obviously, and many of them are fantasists about themselves, their abilities, their wonderfulness, etc. What are you talking about? Is that the kind of stuff you're talking about? Is that real versus the imagined self?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the truth of it is that we have a view of what we want to be doing with our lives, but a lot of us have fallen into a life that doesn't reflect that at all. So therefore, there's going to be a kind of resentment. And sometimes people fall into work and jobs and they're just paying the bills and there's a deep resentment there. They feel owned by the organization. And you compare and contrast that with somebody who actually finds a role, finds an organization that they're completely aligned with, that it reflects them, their values and the like. And every day they kind of get into this thing called flow, where they're so intensely involved in what they're doing. And it plays into their skills and talents in such a way that they lose track of time and they're absolutely wrecked at the end of the day, but they feel they've really achieved something.
And
I'm happy. It's a sense of, we'll call it contentment, will we?
I love it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Once I'm doing this kind of stuff, I'm happy. And
if you've done a really, really good...
Now, I've got a handful of last questions.
Yeah, go for it.
I can no longer ask you one final question. Because you're going to bring this to the world. How are you going to bring it to the world? And how can you monetize it? And what do you need from people listening so that they could either... Is it a franchise model or what is it?
Yeah, so for us, one of the things was we can't keep explaining to everybody like what this is all about. So we wrote a book. And the book is called Make Work Healthy, and that's going to be available. It's been published in the United States by Wiley, and it's going to be available in March. So that's number
and
one.
Wiley
it's
is
really
very
important.
Posh. They're a very posh legal publisher, isn't that right?
They're
legal publishers, I think, as well. I think they were.
Okay.
So you are going to publish the book, and then how are you going to get yourself, or are you going to get franchisees?
So what we've got is a number of strategic partners, so people in Mexico and Brazil and Sweden who have actually invested in the centre, and we're open for other investment too, because we know, you know, you can try and keep this to yourself and own it, but I've been told and I've learned, if you want to build a global brand, you've got to get a lot of finance in, and so we're going to be going for Series A funding to just take this to the world. But we build it through partnerships, it's like a franchise model. So we're now currently going all over the world to places like Singapore and Australia and the States to try and find partners there who will understand this, who have networks and who actually can deploy this fairly quickly.
And another handful of final questions.
Yeah, go for it.
You're going Series A. How much money are you raising? Who do you need? What kind of money would you like? And don't tell me euro or whatever.
No.
Are you looking for clever money or money that opens doors?
If people can come with a network, and if an organization can come with a global network that we can connect into, and that gets us to market faster, because the real value of this comes when people know that Healthy Place to Work brand as well as they know the brand of Nike or anything like that. And when they see that on an organization's website, they straight away, it's a shortcut. They go, that's a healthy place. That's a place I can actually thrive. That's where it really makes it. But that's going to take a lot of money to do. But thankfully, the organizations who get the brand love it, put it on themselves, put it on their social media. That then helps us to grow, which is fantastic.
And I presume in the States, some kind of those medical insurance companies or something would be ideal for you?
Yeah. There's a lot of those already who have kind of got in touch. But, you know, something personally, there's a lot of things to do with health where it's an insurance company that's running it. Whereas we just want to do this as... This is the only thing we do. We're not looking to sell you insurance at the same time. This is our expertise. Analytics, we allow you to measure and manage the health of your workforce so that you, as an organization, get a sustainable, resilient, high-performing organization. That's the win.
You have your final question. You finally reached the final question.
That was very quick.
Is who would John Ryan, CEO of Healthy Place to Work, hire in a heartbeat?
You know, it changed just today. I have to say, I was coming into this studio to say Dr. Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization. He's no relation, but I kind of wish he was. But the man has such passion and belief and skill and talent and all of those things that to me mean an awful lot. I think he's very trustworthy. But today, Jacinda Ardern,
she
obviously has made that decision to step down as Prime Minister of New Zealand, saying the tank is empty. And by the way, straight away, I just admire that so much, because you can do nothing if you don't have the energy. And if you believe that you don't have the energy to do your job to the right level, you need to take time out and recover. And if I could have her on our team globally, I'd be delighted. So if you know her...
posted this on LinkedIn, because for those who don't know you, you have a wee background in politics yourself. And you did say that it is, it's a war of attrition, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's a tough gig. Yeah. But you have to be passionate. You have to know what you want to achieve and focus on that, because you can get lost in the madness that is politics.
But you gave it up for rock and roll and for a healthy place to work. John Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That Great Business Show.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
De facto shaving oil, made only from natural oils. Nothing nasty on your skin.
All that Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 123, where we deliver you 45 minutes of business insights and inspiration, thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie. It's the only place to find your next car, new or second hand. And you must know some young woman or man who would like to make a few quid to get them through school or college. You've heard what we had to say there about side gigs from Sarah Naylor. Make sure to email a link to this podcast to those young people. You're doing them a favour. Also, you can repost us on LinkedIn, where we're posting our new Business Bites. Those are the business opportunities just for you that we send out to subscribers during the week. LinkedIn is also where you'll find us if you want to advertise with us. And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Lee, no mascara for me, Brennan, is today's sound engineer. Later, Neil Horner will do some excellent shading. See what I did there? Shading in post-production. This is the same team that brings you our second podcast series. That's Ireland's legal podcast, The Fifth Court. If you want your own podcast, we can make those podcast dreams come true. And don't forget to buy Business Plus magazine, where we now have a regular column all about the podcast. So from me, Conor O'Moran, Mila Buchas for listening, agus slán tamach.